In a world full of too many football podcasts, comes another football podcast. One man's quest to find the answers.
Okay, boys, let's go to work.
Now, live from Pine Grove Studio B, it's Let Me Be Frank with T. Frank.
How many times have you had a conversation with your friends about losing weight, right? And it always goes the same way.
Yeah, so I eat whatever I want, right? But all I do is I park all the way in the back of the Walmart parking lot. Yeah, I'm going to burn off all those calories. Walk an extra 100 feet. That's the plan. Good plan. Yeah, totally working. Definitely working.
So get this. I only eat food every other day. Yeah, right? Isn't it? It's dope. I mean, I want to cry sometimes, but I only eat things that are blue.
So honestly, it's understandable that when PJ Mustipher says he gained 25 pounds this offseason, it's hard for people to believe that was an intentional decision. And before you get all side-eye emoji about it and, you know, give him some weight loss tips, here's him explaining why he did that.
Looking at the film last season, I was lighter, much lighter than I was the season before. And to be honest, I don't think we played the run that great. And, you know, for me, I put that on myself. You know, that was my fault. You know, I was one of the guys in the middle, and I don't think I did my job that well. And I have to be better. And one of the main things I want to do is put back on the weight and be stout, you know.
So what caused the change? Why the original change, and then why the change back? Well, in 2019, Mustipher and Antonio Shelton, the other defensive tackle for Penn State, played the same position, as Penn State didn't have a differentiation between one defensive tackle and the other on the interior of their four-man front. Last year, in a switch with new defensive line coach John Scott Jr., Mustipher, the more athletic of the two, took one for the team. And he moved over to the three technique position, which is the more penetrating, attacking defensive tackle, the one that you get all the famous highlights for, the one that everybody knows about. Well, with Shelton gone in 2021, Mustipher is moving back to his more natural position, and there's going to be a differentiation going forward in the future between the two positions on the interior for Penn State.
Yeah, you know, Two years ago, I played around 315. So, you know, I'm kind of – and last year we played left-right. And, you know, I was at the two-eye bunch. It's not like I only played three. So, you know, it's been a smooth transition because I played it in the past. You know, now I'm just playing it pretty much every down. So, you know, I'm watching a lot of tape of, you know, NFL guys who have played two-eye, you know, other college guys who've had a lot of success at the two-eye. So just studying that film and just learning the position. You know, I want to be fundamentally sound when I'm in there at the 2-wide, because I know it's an important role in the team, you know, being able to shut down the run every down and be able to push that pocket and create plays all over the field, you know, in pass rushing situations. So, you know, I really want to be a dominant force inside, and I know it can help the defense. So I've loved the transition.
Now, we got this here to make this a little bit easier to understand when it comes to what a 2-eye means. The 2-eye is essentially – think of it as a home address for where PJ Mustipher is going to line up in 2021. It represents a spot on the offensive line where he will line up at every play to give a roadmap for where the defense should line up. Now, a three technique, as you see over here, lines up between the tackle and the guard. This is the player that you know and all of the very famous defensive tackles that get sacks and make plays in the backfield typically line up here because it creates more one-on-one opportunities to win against guards. The 2-eye position on the other side is as close as you're going to get to a nose tackle in a four-man front, which is trying to space out four bodies along five offensive linemen to create a numbers advantage in the run game without giving up, you know, too much space where you just run right through a spot. The 2-eye position is on the shade of the guard because it can play the A-gap, play the center, and play the run while also not losing the entire breadth of your ability to rush the passer as you do when you line up directly over the center as a true nose tackle, which is typical of a five or a three-man front. James Franklin explains why lining up P.J. Mustipher at that point is important.
You know, everybody's going to run inside zone. Obviously, there's packaging that's different, but everybody's kind of running the same plays.
See, the vast majority of runs in college football are of the inside zone variety. They are off the concepts of inside zone. Inside zone, what they're trying to do is they're attacking the first defensive player on the side of the center where they're trying to run the football. So that means P.J. Mustipher is going to be at the point of attack for 40-some percent of all runs run at the Penn State defense on average in any given year. That means he needs to be bigger and stronger to hold up against double teams and players that are trying to push him around along the defensive line. That was the idea behind gaining the weight and changing the position to something he does well, according to John Scott Jr., his new position coach.
I tell you what, he has bulked up, and I tell you what, he's moving really, really well. PJ is going to be a stout guy in there. And you know, in this league, when people try to big boy you and things like that, we're going to be able to hold up at the point of contact. And he's also nimble enough to make plays and things with his feet. So I've been really impressed with PJ, and he's working on all the little things and all the little minute details of the techniques. And I tell you what, I think it's going to pay off for him. I like the way that he is moving. I like the way he's working, and I like the way he is leading. So I'm excited about it. I mean, he's been really good with him bulking up.
So while Mustipher's goal body might be different than yours and mine, it doesn't mean that he wants to be fat. No player should want to be fat. Being athletic and bigger is sometimes harder than it is to be athletic at a smaller size. That's why rare athletes along the defensive line are so incredibly valuable. And this offseason, the goal was not to just pack on 25 pounds, but to put on good weight that he can sustain and use and refine over the offseason to be at a weight where he can be as athletic as possible while still having that advantage in the run game and having that be his key responsibility. You can't swing too far in one direction because the position itself, lining up inside the guard, means you need to be a threat as a pass rusher in some capacity.
Tremendous worker. He has tons of experience. He's got strength and power. So I'm excited about him. I think the weight's been good. You know, sometimes you worry, but he seems to carry it very well. He's not going to get knocked around in there, I promise you that. And he's got nice athleticism. I think there'll be an upgrade there.
So just doing it the right way. You know, it really wasn't, you know, I like to eat a lot of food, so it really wasn't too difficult for me. But, you know, like you said, you got to do it the right way so you don't lose all that, all your speed, your quick feet. So, you know, just adding a couple things to my diet and going to work every day, man, that's how you do it.
So really, this is a natural progression for Mustipher, who, as he talked about before, was 315 pounds a couple years ago and intentionally lost the weight. This is, I think, the next evolution for what his natural skill sets are as a guy who came in with a wrestling background. He was a state champion wrestler and was a naturally big-bodied individual who then developed over time. This is the natural progression you'd like to see from a guy like Mustipher. And while he's got quickness and athleticism, he's never going to be the dominant three technique that we talked about earlier. A guy like Hakeem Beamon, who's undersized, but very athletic and very, very fast. Mustipher is a good athlete. He is really, as far as Penn State has seen, one of the most well-rounded defensive tackles they've had in quite some time, probably since Anthony Johnson. So to just grow into the role that he was always destined for is a very good thing for the defense. And just because you don't see that he gets a ton of sacks in 2021 doesn't mean he's not having a positive, major, impactful effect on the defense. The main thing that he'll affect are the linebackers.
I want the guys next to me, I want the guys, all the guys behind me to know, like, when there's a run play, you know, those guys up the middle are going to shut that down, and they can worry about pass and making plays on the back end. So, you know, I just wanted to be an anchor in that middle and put the confidence in our coaches that when it's a running play, it's going to be shut down by not only myself, but those guys next to me in D tackle room and the DNs as well.
As we've talked about in other videos when it comes to the Sam, the Will, and the Mike linebacker, but just run defense in general is the hardest thing in football now because linebackers can never be right. They have to have run responsibilities. They can't give up an inch there, but then they have the multidimensional problem that the minute they step downhill too quickly with RPOs, the quarterback can just pull the ball and throw it right over their heads. One thing that will prevent that is PJ Mustafa being a dominant interior force and stopping the majority of the runs at their point of attack that come from inside zone and man blocking that is aimed at the center of the offensive line. If he can shut that down and give a reasonable amount of security to the linebackers that they can flow quickly to the point of attack because he's absorbing double teams and winning, they'll be able to play the run better. And they'll be able to secure their passing lanes without feeling like they have to run blitz all the time in order to stop the offense and stop the running back from coming downhill and getting 4 free yards every time they hand the ball off. That will then allow the Penn State defense to focus more on attack and contain on the outside if the inside is locked down.
You know, you're only as strong as your strength in the middle. And I feel really confident with PJ man in the middle of our defense. He's the front line, man. And he runs the show up there. And he's got great respect from his teammates and his coaching staff. He's always been a tremendous worker. He's always had a lot of maturity, great family. And, you know, to me, he is setting himself up for a very nice year. He's strong. He's got some athleticism. He's got some rush ability. He's going to be relentless at 325 pounds. So, you know, he's a very important piece to what we're trying to do right now.
So when they talk about being strong up the middle, PJ Mustafa gives the Penn State defense the ability to do that. And he can help balance the equation that is tipped so far in the scale and in the favor of the offense, who have all of these dangerous attacks and all these ways that you can make the defense wrong on the second level at any given moment. Now, in order to tip the scales back in favor of the defense, Mustafa had to tip the scales on the scale.
This is Let Me Be Frank.
So there's one last thing I want to talk about today, and it is about the importance of watching film. And this is not me, like, giving you homework, but I want to explain the process a little bit, or at least my process of how I come to conclusions and why I feel certain ways about things. And for the most part, I don't react to things live, because the problem with doing that is you don't remember everything, because you actually don't know everything. Watching something live, you get 1/10 of the picture. There are literally 22 people on the field. You physically cannot look at everything at the same time. So when a coach tells you, I need to go watch the film, they're not looking from the press box, like if they're a head coach. They're on the football field. They don't have the perspective to see even half of it. Now, they may know, but they haven't looked at it for themselves to see whether or not their defensive tackle was in the wrong gap or if the other team just made a great play. Or if their quarterback didn't see a linebacker, or if the guard had a loud pressure and he was hit as he was throwing. These are the things that the coach is going to go find out later and watch everything multiple times to know exactly what happened with all the players on the football field. So that comes back to writing about what you see. And I want to add some context to an article I wrote for Blue White Illustrated on Penn State's final spring practice on Friday. If you want to check out the article to know what I'm talking about, bwi.rivals.com. And the part I want to focus on is Taquan Roberson, who did not, in my opinion, have a good day. And I still think that. But I want to add the context of why I got to that conclusion. Because going back over my notes and going back over what I saw and what I observed is that in the situations where Taquan Roberson was asked to throw the football down the field, he did not do a good job. And everything outside of that, what you may have heard or read about his completion percentage or the number of yards he had in the scrimmage, most of those plays were checkdowns. Most of those plays were predetermined throws where he's not doing anything other than delivering the football. playing quarterback is different, where you are reading the defense, deciding where to throw the football, and then putting the football into a situation that takes advantage of what the defense is doing, instead of reading, reacting, and throwing. And in the situations where Taquan threw the ball down the field, it was not accurate, and he didn't look confident. And that also applies to the 7-on-7 before the scrimmage that everyone probably reported on, where there were some pretty bad throws where he was throwing into coverages that he shouldn't have been throwing into, which is a problem if he wasn't understanding what he was seeing. These are what I was writing about. But the context is that's a small sample size. It's a small sample size of one practice that we got to watch, and it is a small sample size of it's a handful of throws in 7-on-7 and in a scrimmage. So to me, what I came away with was Taquan Roberson, when he was given the opportunity to, did not elevate the offense. He did not do anything above and beyond what was expected, and he did not hit any difficult throws. I also think that both he and Clifford didn't have a lot to do that day. It was run-heavy sort of day, but it was also the fact that they didn't allow plays to develop. And this is, I think, a problem that a lot of quarterbacks have, is they don't want to be wrong. They don't want to throw an interception. They don't want to make, they want to make sure that they get the yards that are there and they're not a detriment to their offense. But what they're doing is they're not allowing the play to develop. So a play, typically, when it's called against the proper coverage, puts a player in conflict or puts a coverage scheme in conflict where you're throwing to a part of the football field that the defense isn't. But if you don't allow your receivers to get to those points and you don't throw the football to those points to arrive at the same time, which takes trust in yourself and the receiver, then you're not maximizing what the offense can do for you. It's like driving a Ferrari at 25 with a parking brake on versus actually knowing how to drive a sports car. And that's where I think both Roberson and Clifford on Friday kind of hit their limit for me. There was a lot of nothing for me in that day. And then what I remembered were the big plays that weren't made. But that's where the highlight and the low light things come into play. And that's the context I want to provide, is that those were a limited sample size, but those were the plays that made a difference. So I hope that gives some context. And if you want to check out the article, bwi.rivals.com. Also, Curtis Jacobs is the real deal. We all knew he was a good coverage player, but he made some exceptional plays behind the line of scrimmage in both the run and the pass game as a blitzer. And wow. Again, highlights, but wow. Let Me Be Frank is brought to you by Pavement. Do you want to create progress? How about buildings and pavement? Do we need more? I don't know. But guess what? You're going to get some more. Pavement. Coming to a field near you. What do you mean I need to be more engaging? The show, like, what do you think I do? What do you mean I come off as superior and know-it-all-y and smug? I do not. I just know. Yeah, I hear it now. Okay. All right, let's do this. We are going to be reading some mailbag questions and some feedback for the show. So let me get my props here. In no way do I need these. I just thought this would be fun. Okay, so wait. There, okay. So this question comes from Christy in Florida, a longtime subscriber and friend of the show. Christy, thank you so much for the support, as always. Her question is, T. Frank, you have amazing hair and posture. Thanks. But I was wondering, why is it called Let Me Be Frank? At no point in the show are you actually frank or give a strong opinion on anything. While the content is great and I don't understand most of it but enjoy it, I was wondering if you would consider doing a segment at the end or the beginning of the show where you give your more honest or frank opinions on football or things in your life. Christy. Well, Christy, thank you for the feedback. Thank you for subscribing and following and all of those things. And she gave a review. This is blank. I just read it. Here's the thing. I was hoping that nobody would notice the fact that I am not very frank ever on Let Me Be Frank, because I am a very long-winded individual who is more interested in all the other stuff than what I consider hot takes, which is kind of what you're alluding to here. And this is my problem, is that hot takes and hot take artists are the bane of our generation of sports media. They are the reality TV show stars of what we do. They sacrifice, in my opinion, they sacrifice their dignity and they sacrifice their credibility in order for a shortcut to being interesting. So this is the thing, is hot takes are built on emotional conflict. And the thing is, humans love emotional conflict. We love conflict in general. Like, we just look at any movie. No story is complete without conflict. So that's what people that do hot takes are feeding on. They don't actually know anything about the subject for the most part. They just know enough to say something provocative and then they start shouting that. So to me, it is a cheat. It's a cheapskate way of being interesting. I don't need to do that to be interesting. I'm interesting enough without doing that. Because I feel, hopefully, and you agree on the show if you follow along, that I can explain complicated football things to you in an entertaining and enlightening way. Something that hopefully makes you laugh every once in a while, and you learn something, and I make it easy to understand. That's really what I'd hope to do, to really enrich your life, to give you something other than cotton candy, because that's all that that is. That's all hot takes are. So I will never, ever give hot takes, ever. Everything that I think and do and feel is organic, and it's original to who I am. That's the part of Let Me Be Frank that is me, is let me do this my way. Because there's too much yelling into the empty void of the internet and social media of hot take artists that want to get attention. I want the show to be successful. I want to have fun with this. I want this to be a true delight to everybody. But I'm not cutting corners, and I'm not doing anything cheap to get your attention, other than dumb props, which I find fun. So yeah, we won't be doing any sort of hot takes, but I do think that there is room for something like this, where I can give a more specific, impassioned, and maybe opposite view of the world than what you might see in other places. So thank you, Christy. We will be doing more of this as it comes along on Let Me Be Frank.